Psalm 87. This is a psalm for the sons of Korah. William Romaine said that this is a psalm for the sons of the most miserable man on earth. And of course, if you read the account of Korah, you would realize that with which he speaks. Psalm 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Now, this is a glorious psalm that sets forth the glory of the one who is the very foundation of the kingdom of God. Christ is the foundation stone, the scripture says. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ the Lord. And this is that stone which the builders rejected. But the Lord has made the headstone of the corner. Speaking of Christ, of course. His foundation, that is the foundation of the kingdom of God, is in Jesus Christ. It speaks here of his in the holy mountains. Now, we know that the Lord has no more regard for the mountains than he does for the desert or for the ocean or whatever. I mean, it's not speaking about here the earthly mountains. But as men, we're amazed and awed, and it's a glorious thing when we see mountains. I can remember as a child, first time I saw the mountains. I was amazed. Of course, I've lived around here all my life, and of course, everything's pretty much flat. But when you go somewhere and you see the mountains rising up, it's a wondrous thing. And that's often you find in the scriptures the description of wondrous things as being mountains, and the Lord does indeed set forth the mountains as being that place of his foundation, that is a glorious place, a place high above the thinking and ways of men. Now, why are there mountains in the earth? I believe there are mountains in the earth for the very reason that I just said to you, that men might see the contrast between that which is the plain and that which is high. And the Lord is high and lifted up. So indeed, each time that we look upon the mountains, our minds should be reminded of the fact that, first off, the Lord made the mountains. Now, you know, the scientists, they've got all of these theories as to how the mountains came to be, and you know, over time, this eroded and this did that and this, that, and the other. And I don't know the means whereby God made the mountains, but I know one thing, that he made the mountains, and there's not a mountain on the earth that's not exactly where he wanted it to be. And it's not, there's none that's made out of anything he didn't want it to be made out of. And, of course, men have a hard time explaining how they find fossilized remains of sea creatures high up in the mountains. They can't. That's just an amazing thing. They can't. It couldn't possibly be that the Lord caused the floods to rise above the mountains. I mean, that impossible, is it, in the thinking of men? But you see, with God, he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man can stay his hand. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Now, throughout the scriptures, the Zion is mentioned. Now, the first time that we see Zion mentioned was when David took the stronghold of Zion, which was a fortress that the name escapes me right now, but there was the Jebusites, I believe it was, occupied a place of near Jerusalem, and they opposed David. And so David took the fortress of Zion. And Zion has throughout the scripture been that word and that term the Lord has used to describe his kingdom. And so when we see the word Zion, it generally has reference to the kingdom of God. The gates, the Lord loveth the gates of his kingdom. Now, he loves the gates of his kingdom. And the gates of the Lord's kingdom are not, don't swing on hinges. They're not some ornate thing. You know, people picture picture heaven and the gates of pearl that they say, and you often see an artist try to depict this. But those things are given to us to cause us to fall in worship to him who is the door to the kingdom of God. The gates of God's kingdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the gates of that kingdom. And no man can come or go in that kingdom apart from his purpose. He says, I am the door of the sheep. By me, a man may enter in and go in and out and find pasture. But he is the door. And no man can go in that kingdom any other way than through Jesus Christ. Now that's an offensive message unto the world. The world doesn't want to hear that. They want to hear that one way is just as good as another. And if you like one way better than another, that's quite all right. Because your way is just as good. Well, any way that man picks of his own free will and choice, he is just as good as another. But you see, only the Lord can show a man that gate, that door, which is Jesus Christ, and give him grace to go through that door. Because otherwise, he will be as the world says, and any way will do. And I'll serve the Lord. You often hear people say, oh, well, you know, I don't need to go to church, or I don't need to do that. I just worship the Lord my own way. Well, there is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is but one way. It's not a way I devised. It's not something I came up with, but that one way is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. He loves Christ. Christ is the door of the sheep. Now, he loves the sheep, but never misunderstand that the only reason that he loves the sheep is because he sees them in Christ. See, we have no standing with God apart from being in Christ. Christ is our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our justification. And apart from him, we have no standing with God. Now again, that's a very offensive message to the world, because the world believes in their heart of hearts. They're convinced that they have some bit of righteousness which the Lord will take notice of. Well, surely, you know, old so-and-so, he was such a good man. I mean, he went about doing good and he did wondrous things. Why? Well, surely the Lord would take some consideration of that. Paul was a good man as a Pharisee, but Paul was a man who was an enemy of God and didn't even really know it until the Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus. And then he went on to say, you know, all those things that I counted as great accomplishments. I was a Pharisee. I served the Lord. I knew the scriptures. I walked in that way, which I thought to be right. But those things which were gained to me, I counted but loss, and I count them but dung that I may win Christ, because Christ is the only hope of sinners. There's not another one. And so the Lord loveth the gates of Zion. He loves Christ more than all the dwellings of Jacob. That is, all the places on the earth where His people are gathered, Christ is that one who's the apple of His eye. And we are privileged, dear brethren, to be in Christ if God by grace has put us there. What a great privilege it is. Because what can a man boast of? Can a man say, well, I put myself in Christ? Now, the vast majority of religious folks today believe that. They think that they are one of God's children because they chose to be. That's a message that's rung across this land and around the world for a couple hundred years now, without a great rivalry to stand against it. But it's a lie. Men don't enter the kingdom of God by their choice. They enter the kingdom of God by the grace of God, by the mercy of God that shows them that way and causes them to believe. How can a man believe except that the Lord in mercy give him faith? Faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things of thee, or glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Now, we read in the book of Hebrews that all of these Old Testament saints, they died, but they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, and that they looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They looked for a city which had foundations. Now, what is that foundation? It's Jesus Christ. What were they looking for? Were they looking for... You know, you speak to a lot of people, especially this happens at funerals, people get talking about heaven. And to the average person, heaven is some kind of a place where they're just going to be happy doing whatever they was happy doing in this world. I mean, that's how they view heaven. They're going to sit around in rocking chairs on the front porch and talk with grandma about old times and things like that. Sentimentality. But dear brethren, the scripture speaks of the place of heaven as being a place where Christ alone is magnified. And the only people that could possibly enjoy that are those whom the Lord has caused to love the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you certainly would not be happy in heaven, because He's the center of it. He's that city which hath foundations. He's that city which the people of God look for and will not be turned aside except they find it. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. Now, that's a kind of a strange scripture because of the way that it's written. I believe what the gist of what he's saying here is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be preached throughout the earth. He said, I will make mention of Rahab, Babylon, to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia. This man was born there. That is, the Lord has His people among all of these nations. It's not just the United States. It's not Israel. It's not... The Lord doesn't have a favored... You listen to our great politicians talking about some nation has favored nation status. And what that means is, of course, that we will give them trade breaks and things like that. I'm not sure what all it means, but it does mean that at least. But there are no favored nations before God. Because out of every kindred, tribe, and tongue, he has his people. He has a people who were born into the kingdom of God out of these nations. Now, there's no other way that any man in any nation comes unto the Lord except through Jesus Christ. The only way. And the Lord has caused his word to be sent into the earth. He said to declare it to everyone that would hear. And of Zion, it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. And Zion, of course, being the kingdom of God, this and that man is born of her. That is, all of the people who are born into the kingdom of God are born of God. We don't become a part of the kingdom of God through natural birth. That's what the Lord told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, it's not enough that a man be born into the world. It's not enough that a man be born even into the nation of Israel. He said, I tell you, except a man be born of water, that is of natural birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so it is. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. Now, I've heard men speak about formulas whereby you can be born again. You just do this and you'll be born again. No, it doesn't work like that. There's not a formula that a man can go through and fulfill and then he'll be born again. No, thou hearest, you can see the effects of the wind. You hear it, but you don't know where it comes from. So is every man that's born of the Spirit. It's the work of God. It's that which the Lord is pleased to bring upon a man and cause him to be born again and to have faith and to believe. And men can't make any boast in it. I mean, the only thing that makes any of us different from another is the grace and mercy of Almighty God, because we'd never believe the gospel. There's none that seeketh after him. There's none righteous, no, not one, apart from his mercy, his kindness, which indeed he has shown unto men. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. For wherever the people of God are, it is the work of God to bring to pass the gathering in. As when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to everyone whom the Lord should call. That's the same way we are, isn't it? Huh? We're just a little more sophisticated in how we do our whining. But the Lord shall count when he rideth up the people. Now this is a glorious passage of scripture right here. The Lord shall count when he rideth up the people. Why is he going to count? You know, the scripture says the Lord knoweth them that are his. He gave a parable. And he said that a man, a shepherd, had 99 sheep that was in the fold. But what did he do? How did he know? I mean, this man had 100 sheep. How did he know he had 100? I mean, how did he know that he only had 99 in the fold? What did he do? He counted them. He said, you know, I'm missing one of my sheep. And the scripture says that he'll go out, he'll leave the 99, and he will not return until he gets that one sheep that's missing. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And he will indeed call his own unto himself. The Lord shall count, it says, when he rideth up the people. He said, there come old Joe through the gate. There's Ed. And he writes them down. He knows who they are. He counts them. When he writeth up the people, the scripture says that the names of God's children are written in the Lamb's book of life. And it says from before the foundation of the world. That's a glorious thought. I mean, the Lord created the world for His glory, for sure. But He had His people in mind when He created. He knew where everyone was going to be. And in His own time, He calls them out. Again, that's an offensive message. Some I don't really understand fully why it would be an offensive message. Because it ought to cause men to just rejoice that the Lord would save His sheep. But see, men get mad because they say, well, He ought to just save everybody. Well, no, the reality is He ought not to save anybody. But because of His mercy and kindness, He has chosen to save some. What a glorious thing. To be numbered, to be counted when He writeth up the people. But look at this. It says, the Lord shall count when He writeth up the people. Now, here's what's really important. We talked about the fact that God's people are born into the kingdom, but listen to this. It says that this man was born there. Now, who is this man that was born here but Jesus Christ, born of a woman? Born in the likeness of sinful flesh. He is that one who is the very basis upon which the kingdom of God rests. And He came and walked among men as a man. This man was born here. Brethren, without the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have salvation. Because the Lord purposed to save us through the blood of His only begotten Son. And He has accomplished exactly that. And He said of all the sheep the Lord has given Him, He would lose how many? I mean, did He say, and this is what's preached far and wide, is that, well, the Lord's going to stand before the Father one day and say, well, Lord, I got as many of them as I could. Because people say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, He died for everybody in the world. And we know that everybody in the world is not going to be saved. So did the Lord fail? How foolish. The Lord has accomplished exactly what He came into the world to do, which was to redeem that people which were given to Him before the foundation of the world. And He has counted them and He has accomplished their redemption. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. The rejoicing of God's people is complete in Christ. All of our springs are in Him. That is, all of our wells of joy are in Him. We don't have another one. Brethren, this world doesn't give us any lasting joy. I mean, there's passing things that of happiness. The Lord has blessed us in so many ways. He's given us many things in this world to enjoy. But they are passing, and we understand that. You know, even our families, as much as we rejoice and glory in them and enjoy their company most of the time. even that is a passing thing. But the joys that are found in Christ, they endure forever. And they can't be taken away. All of my springs are in thee. What a glorious God we have. And a wondrous Savior.